Corey, No Ceilings. Welcome back to the show. I think the last time I saw you was in Vegas.
Yes. Yeah, Summer League, right?
Yeah, man. And then the last time we did a pod, it was in person, man.
Hell yeah. Yeah, I was. I had a little trouble getting to the studio, but I made it eventually.
A little behind the curtain. Well,
if I remember correctly, I feel like our takes probably aged pretty well from that show.
I got to pull up the Derek Lively tape because that aged great. I was kind of saying like that, like Mavs was. You know, I tend to do that, Corey. I pull up my own takes a lot, especially when they're right.
Yeah, well, that's the best time to pull them out.
So everybody watching this on the NBA Report, hit that subscribe button. Wherever you're listening to Combos Court, hit that subscribe button. Corey, you must be having fun because we have no idea who the number one pick will be.
You know what? It actually has been one of the more fun draft cycles that I can remember. You know, I mean, last year was fun because there was debate between Scoot and Brandon Miller and whatnot. But it almost felt like mean at certain points with people where it was like, if you don't think Scoot is the guy, then, you know, we're going to attack you and you're stupid. This year, everybody's having wild takes. And I don't know if they're wild, I guess is the fun thing where you can have like there's probably a legitimate argument for like seven or eight different guys that could potentially go number one, it would probably make me a little bit scared if I actually was in position to make the number one pick, but. Look, as long as you're not Kevin O'Connor right now, the internet's being pretty kind to your big board. So, you know, shout out to KOC. I'm with you, brother. keep doing your thing and not buying into the crowd.
Okay. I wasn't going to say his name, but I mean, that was actually going to be a great segue to my next topic. You got to convince me. Reed Sheppard, I like him. I think he's a good player. Number one, I don't know, Corey. I mean, I know you can point to the 50% shooting. He probably has some more on-ball juice than people think. Convince me. Number one, Reed Sheppard.
First things first. There is nobody that is a standout that you can definitively say should be going above Reed Sheppard. Every prospect in this class has some kind of weakness that you can point to go, this is why this player isn't going to work in the league, right? With Reed, it's because he's listed at 6'3", but he's probably 6'2", you know, on a good day, right? So I think with Reed, for me, the reason that I buy into him so heavily is because I think as a basketball player, it's pretty hard to find a glaring weakness in his game. I mean, you mentioned the shooting percentages. He's 50-50, high 80s, right? And, you know, I think shooting in the league at the moment is at more of a premium than it has ever been, right? Like, that's what you need in your offensive game to really stick on an NBA floor. Like, if you're going to be somebody who is, you know, kind of shifting between the on-ball and off-ball stuff, you need to confidently be knocking down shots when you're off-ball. Now, with Reed, I don't think even if he is the number one pick or if he's number one on your board, I don't think you necessarily believe that he's all of a sudden going to turn into this like heavy usage, dirty, you know, James Harden-esque guy who's dominating every possession in a heliocentric kind of way. Shout out to Pee Wee the Plug, the heliocentric podcast.
Shouts to Pee for sure. Shouts to Pee.
But I think with Reed, what makes him so intriguing to me is that one, I don't think anybody's can make a reasonable case that he's not going to be a fantastic shooter at the next level. Maybe he's not going to shoot 50%, right? Bigger, stronger, longer, faster closeouts. Maybe he's, you know, going to have to adapt to that. But the dude he's got a strap. He could shoot it, right? Like it looks clean, looks great. Yeah.
There's no denying that.
No denying it, right?
Yeah.
And he's doing it in the he's off pull-ups, you know, off the ball, all that stuff. But I think that he's going to be able to fit so well with somebody else who maybe is a little bit more ball dominant, because you could put the ball in, you know, you could put him in the corner, you can have him lift and, you know, come up to the wing, be ready to shoot it off those kickouts, and he's going to knock down those shots at a really great clip. I also think he's just a quick processor. So when he does get that ball, if somebody does close out to him, he's going to be able to make a quick decision. He already knows the decision that he's going to make really before he gets the ball. He knows if he's going to be able to shoot it. He knows if he's going to quick attack, if he's going to move off of it. He plays that 0.5 kind of basketball that I think just translates to the trends of, you know, the more successful teams in the league. There's not really a lot of catch and hold, you know, with Reed. I think even with that Kentucky team at large, I think they have played a really fun brand of basketball, from Rob to even, you know, DJ Wagner is, you know, at times, you know, looked improved in that aspect. But I do believe he has more juice with the ball in his hands too. Like, I liken him, like, I think, and you know, maybe this player isn't as good in this era, but I think he's kind of like a modern day Mark Price.
Mark Price was tough, but Mark Price pick and roll was tough.
And I think Reed has some juice as a passer. I mean, you think about how loaded that Kentucky backcourt is right now. Like, you know, I mentioned Rob, I mentioned, you know, DJ Wagner, but you also have Antonio Reeves in that backcourt. Like, you got a lot of guys to initiate offense through. They even initiate offense through, you know, a Vucevic a little bit when he's on the floor with the DHOs and stuff. I think you put the ball in Reed's hands a little bit more often, let him run pick and rolls, because you have to guard him for the shot as a pick and roll ball handler. Like, if you sit in a drop, in a heavy drop as a big, like, he's going to bury that shot pretty easily if the guy doesn't get over the top quick enough. I think he's got a pretty slick pull-up game too. And I actually think he's got a quicker first step than he's given credit for. So, you know, when he gets into the lane or, you know, comes off that ball screen, I also think he's got pretty good vision. He had a slick, like, left-handed live dribble whip to the weak side wing the other day in one of the last games. You know, last week he had that, you know, Steve Nash kind of baseline drive kick out to the top of the 3-point line. So I think he's got some passing juice. And I went back, I watched some of his high school stuff as well. And, you know, he was much more of like, you know, an on-ball creator in that sense. And it's not like a one-to-one. It's not perfect.
I like the idea of looking at high school tape though, because it's a little more free flowing.
Yeah. And, you know, the guys are playing different roles sometimes, right? Like that Kentucky offense is not, it's probably not how Rob Dillingham's going to play at the next level. You know, it's a little bit more egalitarian where everybody's kind of touching the ball and having opportunities to cook a little bit. So, you know, I think that going back has helped, and I just think he's got more juice on the ball. And he's got crazy touch. I mean, he's good. The hang up would be if you don't believe in the defensive stuff for me, where you think that, like, you put him conference finals and you got Jason Tatum switched onto him and they're just going to go at him every single possession. He's not going to be able to hold up. And I think that's a legitimate question.
Yeah. I mean, I think everything you're saying about his game is true. My thing is, does he have the ceiling of a Zach, of an Alex Saar, even of a Matas? What do you feel about that?
Well, I guess that I would say he probably does. I think that because his shooting is so nuclear.
It is.
And I think he's such a good decision maker. Like, I just think like his impact metrics are going to be off the charts. Cause, you know, not to say he's mistake free. Like, some people say he doesn't make mistakes. Like, he definitely, you know, will make mistakes at times. He's a basketball player. He's a freshman. But I just think that, you know, he is the kind of guy who, like, because his shooting is so nuclear, because I think he's got a little bit more self-creation juice. And if you give him the rock and let him explore that, especially as a playmaker, I really think he's got the potential. The other thing is, like, the advanced metrics, I think they're really hard to ignore. Like, I'm somebody who tends to lean eye test because, you know, the advanced metrics are cool, but, you know, they could lie.
It does seem like he's an analytic darling, right?
Yeah. I mean, he's literally having like one of the top 10 seasons of the last 15 years for a freshman.
And to be fair, like, when you look at those type of numbers, like, really good players in that mix, right? Like, really good players.
Yeah, it's like Zion.
Right.
Super cool bees. You know, no, it's real legit dudes. It's not, you know.
Yeah.
So, and look, maybe he's an outlier in that group. Mm-hmm. But I totally get the argument of, if you're shooting with the number one pick, you got to go upside. And when you look at Alex Saar, who's 7'1", runs the floor like a gazelle, and maybe could hold down the paint defensively for a team, that's really enticing, especially if that offense does come along, if the shot is real. You know, with Matas, he's what, 6'10", you know, and he was a guy who shot it really well in high school. The shot looks pretty good. You know, he's shown some stuff where he's like got nifty footwork and he looks like Franz at times with the ball in his hands, right? Like, that's really enticing. And we've seen that work. It's hard because we haven't seen Reed work in a while. It's been a while since a guard that was 6'2", 6'3", that, you know, didn't necessarily like have like a crazy bag.
Yeah.
Would go this high in the draft. So that's the thing with this draft. It's like, I'm not going to tell anybody they're wrong for believing in somebody else above a guy like Reed, because you can make an argument that he's not even the best prospect on his own team, you know? So,
right, right.
But I think he's just a really good basketball player who fits the direction of the league. And I think I buy his baseline level skills more than some of the other guys.
So, I mean, it might be the answer to the next question. It could be Reed Sheppard, but best prospect to pair with Wemby. I really like the idea of Topic. I just like the unique cadence he plays the game. And I think his feel for the game is probably higher than a lot of the other guys in the top 5 to 10. Love the way he plays basketball. I think that would be an awesome pair. You know, the Spurs have that international feel. They always drafted international players. That's like part of their culture, if you will. Is it Topic? Is it Reed? Who would you like to see paired with Wemby?
I think that they would both be phenomenal fits. Mm-hmm. I love Nikola Topic. Like, That dude. He is tough, man. Like, yeah. I mean, he can make every pass in the book. He's got that NBA plus size that you want from an initiator.
So what is he, 6'4", 6'7"? I'm hearing different things. What is he? Do we know?
So I've had an NBA team who has his measurements tell me that he's 6'6", barefoot.
Good. Yeah, that's big.
He had a wingspan that was reported to be 7 feet. But it's actually 6'6".
Okay.
It was a misprint for his wingspan, but he actually is 6'6", barefoot.
Yeah, just like thinking about it in my mind, it didn't seem 7 foot.
No, that's why I was like, that actually makes a ton more sense. But even still, like, as a lead initiator at, you know, a guard spot, like, that's plenty fine for what he is. And but he's super skilled. I mean, you know, before he'd only played a couple games in the EuroLeague before he got injured. But before that, he was finishing like over 70% of his shots near the rim, mm-hmm. like in the Adriatic League, like men's league. That's where Jokic played, right? Yeah, like this is a real legit overseas league, and he was dicing them up. And he's one of the youngest players in the draft.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and he plays kind of like, he got that SGA change of pace, Euro, same hand, same leg, never really looks like he goes full speed. And that's been working really well in the NBA lately.
Yeah, like that D-cell, like, his footwork is insane. Like, he's got these strides. And then one of the things I think is crazy is how effortlessly he like glides. And it's like SGA, how he glides through tight spaces.
Yes.
Like, there are possessions at the rim where there are like two guys, you know, trying to stop him from getting to a spot, and he'll like slither through them, and you're like, how the hell he even fit? It's like Indiana Jones trying to, you know, underneath, you know, as the boulder's coming. I love Topic. I think that one of the reasons that you're starting to see him lose a little bit of steam is just because that's what happens in the process when you're injured.
Well, the March Madness, the NCAA bump is real too, right?
Yeah,
just like, so these guys are in the limelight.
But he's really good. Probably. I think I'm probably the highest on him from the No Ceilings team. And I have been, I think, all year. But he is he's a really good basketball player. And I think as far as the Spurs go, you want them to have a definitive number one playmaker outside of Wemby. Like, you don't want to use, at this point in Wemby's development, while he's shown some pretty insane stuff in every facet, including passing, he's probably not going to be Jokic. I think it's fair to say, where you want to initiate everything through him as a playmaker, pairing him with a pick and roll partner who can actually make the passes that Sohan hasn't been able to make off the pick and roll and all that. And you're adding that size. So you're looking at a guy, now you're going like 6'6", Devin Vassell's 6'6", 6'7", Sohan, Wemby, and whoever else you want to add to that court.
Just don't have Sohan playing point guard.
That's it. You know, yeah. now you got to put snipers around this team. Now, like, Topic.
So is it Reed or is it Topic you like for? I mean, Reed is the sniper.
Hey, they might have a shot at both. They got two picks, you know, early
That'd
on.
Be
so
crazy. They would actually probably fit together in some weird way too.
Absolutely, because you know, Reed could play off ball, and you know, he'll make those quick decisions. Like, and Topic is big enough that, you know, he could guard twos if you wanted him to. And now there aren't twos in the league, really.
Devin Booker.
Outside of Booker, that you're like, yo, you know, like, I'm not worried about, you know, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, you know, ISOing Topic, you know, if that's a game plan, like, great.
Yeah.
Like, So I think it would work, definitely offensively. I mean, offensively, you got two basketball savants paired with, you know, one of the greatest basketball prospects that's ever lived. So, but it's a realistic outcome for them in that regard.
So you got to give me one. Who you taking if you only have one?
Yeah, man.
Or is it somebody else? I don't know. No, like,
well, they're neck and neck for me on my board.
So right now, like, you know, Spurs, Corey, you're on the board. What are you doing?
Yeah. I'd probably lean Topic.
Yeah, I agree.
Even though I might at this point have Reed like slightly ahead of him, but like when you're building out boards.
So you're saying on a big board, Reed would be higher, but maybe it's close enough where the fit would matter, right?
Yeah, because I think that you can get, I think they're both pretty rare in what they could do, because I think Reed is a pretty elite level shooter. But, you know, a guy who's 6'6", who can make every pass in the book, is a killer at the rim, shooting 88% from the free throw line. Even if the threes aren't dropping, that touch at the free throw line, I think, is something that you can build on and get him to the point where, like, he's going to be punishing unders if he, you know, if that's what a defense decides to do. But at the end of the day, too, like, Wemby is such an outlier player that, like, I just think it's going to be so hard to game plan to try to take away other guys, especially when you have somebody like Topic who'd be able to, like, still find ways to get Wemby the ball anyway, you know, in good spots.
Prospect with the most to gain in March Madness.
Prospect with the most to gain.
Or it's somebody you think will gain a lot in March.
I think Dalton Connect's got a lot.
He got a lot of social. He's big on the social media buzz. People like him. People like watching his play. People like his highlights.
Yeah, like, I mean, he's
a bucket. People can't pronounce his name. They don't know what it is, but that's a whole other story.
I mean, I was talking to a scout the other day, and they're like, yo, like, tell me what wing is definitively better than him right now.
Cody?
I don't think you could. I don't know if you would say definitely not as a college player, right? Like, maybe as a prospect.
Yeah, as a prospect. Yeah, yeah. I mean, Filipowski, I think, is like a really good college player. I don't know if he's as good as those guys when it comes to NBA prospects, you know?
Right. Yeah. But the fact is, like, regardless of Connect's age, he's 23, you know, right. Or he will be 23.
Right.
NBA teams are still pretty high on him. And I think he averaged 25.5 points in the SEC this year.
Yeah.
That's tough.
That is
like,
tough.
And he's 6'6". He's got broad shoulders. He's strong. He's got real bounce, you know, not like sneaky white guy bounce, like real legit. Like, I'm going to put you on a poster.
Right.
If you don't, you know, if you show up late, he could shoot it, which is, you know, valued skill. If Tennessee makes a run, I think he goes from a guy who it's like, all right, he's old, so let's take him at the back end of the lottery, maybe pick 15 or whatever. And now all of a sudden, like, he's in real consideration starting, like, let's say Memphis gets the sixth pick and they're a team who can afford to take somebody who's a little bit more ready now.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned 25 in the SEC. Do you think, like, the NBA game could benefit him even more when it comes to, like, the spacing? You know, college basketball compared to the NBA, it's very rigid, you know, it's very compact. It's just a different game. Do you think, like, the NBA style of play could benefit him?
Yeah, for sure. Especially as a finisher, because he's the type of dude where, like, you know, he might not have, like, that up and under Kyrie flexibility, like midair stuff. But when he gets a runway, he's a powerful leaper. So, like, I think that'll help him. And he'll have more runways. He won't be the complete focus of the defense at the NBA level. Like, I think he's going to be a really good player. I think that he's going to be a tough bucket getter. I don't think he's going to be the number one option on a championship level team. Like, you can convince me his ultimate upside is maybe that of, like, a 2B type guy, which is still, you know, a really valuable guy.
I mean, he's averaging 25 in the SEC. Maybe one day he could do it in the NBA.
Why not, right? Like, I mean, the shot is translatable, I think. You know, it's an effortless ball. And, I mean, he's throwing up, I think he's at 7 30-point games, 5 35-point games, threw 40 against Kentucky. And he's big enough that, like, again, like, defensively, he's not a mismatch nightmare problem, because he's big and strong and you can't just, all right, let me get you ISO in the post, whatever. Like, he'll give enough effort. He's not going to totally murder you as he develops on that end.
Who's the best player in college basketball this year?
It might be him. Hmm. I mean, it could be Edie. I guess you could argue Zach Edie.
Actually, somebody asked me about him in the gym today. I don't know, man. I mean, Taco Fall didn't really last. I don't know if I think is Taco more mobile than Edie?
No, I think Edie's more mobile.
You think so?
I've seen Edie a couple of times now, and I saw him against Rutgers last month.
You think it translates?
I mean, I don't think it translates. Like right now, he's throwing up like 30 and 15s.
What I'm saying, to have a long NBA career. That's what.
Yeah,
I mean.
I do.
Okay, cool.
I do. So the first time I saw him was the Jaden Ivey year. Mm. And he wasn't like necessarily the featured guy on that offense because they had Jaden Ivey, they had Trevion Williams, but he was a big enough part of that rotation. And I just remember watching him warming up, and I was like, yo, how does a dude who is this big move like that? Like, that's pretty smooth. Like, okay. And then watching him in the game, watching him again, like, showed up 2 hours early to warmups against Rutgers, watching him go through his routine. He just moves like a regular person kind of. Now, not to say that he's not slower.
It's not like Giorgio Murison or anything.
Right. Like, you know, and he works really hard on, you know, the aspects of his, you know, movement that he knows he has to work on to survive at the NBA level. Now, do I think he's going to have trouble like guarding, you know, on switches and stuff? Of course. But I also don't think an NBA team is going to be foolish enough to start having him show up at the level and switch onto these guards. I think they're going to play him in a heavy drop. And I think he's going to be a guy who situationally will be able to act almost like Boban did in certain situations where you can go to him and swing.
Boban's minutes are really good minutes sometimes, you know?
Right. Because he's just so difficult. There's no way you can match up with that, right?
Right, right.
Boban's thing is you can't have him out there for 25 minutes.
Yeah.
Edie's playing 30 minutes a game. I mean, to have the stamina, like, conversely, you look at UConn.
If he could put up Boban type stats per minute, he might average 30.
Yeah, well, I mean, but I think, you know, I think a team, you know, like let's say you have a team that has aspirations of competing for a title. Mm-hmm. Who are some guys you got to go through? You got to go through Joel Embiid. You got to go through Nikola Jokic. So if you're a team who's competing, all right, well, you might draft Edie, and maybe you're not like, this is going to be our center of the future, our building block, the guy we're going to go to every, you know, possession. But
it's interesting because, I mean, the big man is coming back or is all the way back. Like, there was a time during the Steph Curry era where we got like really small for a second. Right. And now we're seeing like you need bodies to throw at these guys, you know?
Of course, like, you know, Rudy Gobert, like they're a big dude, you know, Kristaps. They're big dudes in the league now. Wemby eventually, right? Like, you just need guys that are going to be able to be big and bang. And I think he's going to be able to do that in spurts at an effective level because he's a good basketball player. It works hard. He's got skill. He knocks down free throws. It's not like a guy you can't hack a shack him. But, you know, do I think he's going to be the core of your offense? No, because he doesn't have like the passing playmaking juice at this point that like you need at the center spot to do that.
Right. All right. Maybe one or two more things, then we'll do rapid fire. What have you learned about Uzelis's game during his G League Ignite season? I really liked his upside, probably higher than most. Like, I think I'm high on him than consensus. What have you learned from his game this year?
I feel like he's played up to my expectations. Mm. You know, I watched a lot of his high school tape coming in. Like, I knew he was big. I knew he was skilled. I think the thing that I did learn about him, I think he's been better defensively than you might expect if you look at him and you were just judging a book by its cover. Like, he's legit big. And I think that he's got really active hands. He's a good shot blocker. I think he's embraced physicality like a little bit more than you would have thought by his reputation coming in.
Right.
And I think that's the, cause you know, the offense, like he's got the skills and they'll hone them. And you know, I think that's, something pretty easy to bet on.
Are people sleeping on him a little bit, maybe?
Yeah. I mean, you know, I think right now people are down on the Ignite prospects.
100%.
100%. You know, I might have some fun stuff, you know, on the Ignite coming out soon.
Okay.
But
be on the lookout for that.
Yeah. I think people are sleeping on the Ignite prospects a little bit just because there hasn't been a lot of success coming from that program over the years. You know, and now Scoot has come out and he struggled this year early. So people are like, oh, like here was this generational prospect. He's not even coming out of the gate. So now like people are down on the program. And plus they've won like four games overall this year. Like they just haven't won at all, like to even be competitive. So I think all of the prospects are a little bit slept on, maybe for good reason, maybe for reasons that aren't necessarily, you know, any fault of their own. And really it's the people who are building the program out. Who's to say, but yeah, Modest is skilled. And if you're looking at, you know, chances and people to bet on in a draft with a lot of questions, 6'10", could shoot, can move, pass, potentially, you know, dribble the ball a little bit. Like he's a good bet for sure.
All right. We're going to go through some rapid fire and then get out of here. Corey, this has been a big hit on Combos Court, even though we only did it once, but people loved it. Okay. Here we go. Better rookie season, LeBron James or Wemby? I know Wemby season's not over yet, but for what, you know, let's say we cut off LeBron's date whenever these games were, you know.
I'll go Wemby.
Okay. Okay. You know, it's interesting. You talked about like how, I don't know if we did the Wemby and Shaq one or the Wemby and LeBron one, but you definitely said Wemby was the better prospect, I remember back then.
Well,
right?
Yeah, because I went back before Wemby season and I watched as much LeBron high school film as I could find. And he had a lot of like holes in his game as that, like, you know, you see the 40,000 point scorer and you don't necessarily, you know, realize he was trying stuff that he wasn't, you know, he didn't know he had yet in high school. And, you know, he'd bust out a combo move and throw up an air ball and stuff like that. But I just think Wemby, because of the two-way stuff, is he's probably more impactful right now.
Start, bench, cut. Topic, Reed, Dillingham.
Start, Reed, bench, topic, cut, Dillingham.
Fact or fiction, draft class of 96 is the greatest draft class ever.
Fact.
Better prospect, Bouzelis or Reed?
I got Reed.
Duncan or Akeem?
Duncan.
Who wins March Madness?
UConn.
Favorite podcaster?
Oh, you know it's Combos Court.
There you go. That's I've been waiting for this answer. Jason Timpf was supposed to give me this answer when I asked him the favorite podcast. He didn't say Combos Court. Shouts to Jason, but shouts to you. I appreciate that.
I like that. I'm digging the you know, the new graphics and stuff on the YouTube. Man. Yeah,
appreciate you. Thank you so much.
That's tough.
Shouts to the NBA report. Shouts to our producer Gamba, who's been working on that. So yeah, shouts to CP. Shouts to Alex. Shouts to everyone. Most sleeped on prospect in the 2024 NBA draft. And tell me why. You could elaborate.
Stephon Castle. I think Stephon Castle is, I'm seeing him mocked at like 17, 18, 19, 20 on some mock drafts. And when I see him, I see a 6'6", tough defender who can guard multiple positions, can pass the rock, play point guard in high school, crafty with the ball, really good cutter. Reminds me of early Chicago Bulls, Jimmy Butler, not Jimmy G buckets, but like early do the dirty work, you know, Jimmy Butler trying to, you know, crawl his way into Tibbs rotation. Shot got to come around, but if the shot comes around and I'm a believer that I think he will be adequate as a shooter. I don't think he's going to be a good, you know, a plus shooter, but I think he will be adequate. And if he does that, I think he's got a chance to be one of the, you know, five best players in this draft class.
Bronny James one day plays with LeBron James. Fact or fiction?
I'm going to say fact.
Yeah, I have to agree there. Okay. Fact or fiction? Last one. Larry Bird had the highest peak ever outside of Kareem, Jordan, and LeBron.
Outside of Kareem, Jordan, LeBron. Fiction.
Who had the highest peak?
I think it might be Jokic.
What? Really? And that guy was drafted in a Taco Bell commercial.
I mean, I don't know if Jokic is at his peak right now.
Yeah, he's ridiculous, man. I had this conversation. Shouts to Jason again. I had this conversation with Jason. I had this conversation with Adam Mars. Like, his GOAT window is open.
I'm with it.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, he's gonna have potentially his third MVP this year.
It's crazy.
Pretty not out of the question that he wins another one. Yep. You know, I mean, look, he's got to win.
Young teammates. Yeah, yeah.
A game that'll age well. Yeah. You know, not predicated on athleticism. Just a genius with the basketball.
Unless he leaves early and just wants to go with his horses, you know.
Yeah, which is, you know, probably on the table.
Could be on the table. Corey, great stuff. You know, draft is not too far away. Not too far away. So where could everybody find you? Let them know.
All right, you can find me personally at Corey Tulliba on Twitter, NBA Draft Dude, elsewhere. And then you can find all of the work that I do at NoCeilingsNBA.com. From there, No Ceilings Podcast, No Ceilings YouTube, you know, the whole thing. But, you know, go to the website, subscribe. It's free. You get stuff delivered Monday through Friday, right to your inbox. So NoCeilingsNBA.com is where it's at.
Corey, great stuff. You're always welcome back on the show. Talk soon.
My man.